the more I've tried to kind of like segment and divorce like my personal work and personal exploration and just even goofing around with the camera from my client work, the less happy I've been with the client work I've been producing and the less satisfied I've been with photography as a whole. So I feel like the more I just like in let it all be just part of this art form that I love and that I get to do, the better work I'm making.
Welcome to episode 418 of the Beginner Photography Podcast, brought to you by CloudSpot. That's right, the all-in-one solution to deliver and even sell your photos online. I'm your host, Raymond Hadfield, and today we are chatting with photographer Stephen Wallace. Now, Stephen has been on the podcast before, episode 247. He shoots film and digital and is primarily a wedding photographer. So if you want to check out our last interview that we did all about, you know, kind of wedding photography and, you know, how to know when to shoot film versus digital and why the film versus digital debate is kind of useless, go back and check out episode 247. But today we're talking all about how to make work that matters to you. What it means for work to matter and not just make work for trends. So as I said, Stephen is a wedding photographer and shoots a lot of personal work on film, also shoots professional work on film as well. And we really start off with a deeper dive, maybe into the psychology of why we shoot what we shoot, then getting straight into talking about photography. So, you know, you got to be sure to buckle up for this one because it is a bit of a more drawn out episode. It's not very direct questions. Some of them are very round about, which I know this style of interview can be some. I know that there's a lot of listeners who this is your favorite style of interview. And if that's you, I hope that you enjoy. If you are looking to figure out, you know, more about your style in photography, more about, you know, why you shoot the way that you shoot and how to create images that do matter to you, then I really think that you're going to get a lot out of this episode. It's not just all about business. Even though we do talk about, you know, using projects as a way to recharge our creative batteries, I think that Stephen does a great job of breaking down as well, like why they're just important to us as artists, as creatives, as people who are looking to just make things. So that's it. I really enjoyed this conversation. Without any further ado, let's go ahead and get on into this podcast interview with Stephen Wallace. I want you to play a little exercise, okay? I want you to imagine that you're in the psychologist chair, right? You know, kind of lean back and close your eyes. And I want you to think back to high school.
Okay.
All right? I want you to think back to those days where you were carrying your camera around, you know, just snapping pics, friends, just life, you know, all those things. I want you to think back to that time and think of a photo. Maybe it was one of your favorite images. Maybe it's just an image that stands out simply because you love it.
Okay.
Describe that photo to me.
Oh, geez. I'm going to give way too much context because that's what I do.
I'm here for it.
I had this little, my main camera for like all of high school was this little APS Kodak Advantix point and shoot camera with like a fixed lens. It was small. I could put it in a pocket or a bag. And I just loved that thing. And then I realized, I think after shooting a bunch, that they made black and white film for it. And I thought this was the coolest thing ever to shoot everything in black and white. So I got a bunch of black and white. And then I was just, I don't know if I'm actually picturing a real photo or if I'm just making this up. but I like have in my mind of like walking around, going to like a little kind of, you know, amusement park thing with a friend of mine, my best friend growing up, David, and just taking random pictures. And there was just one I think of like our shoes. We're both like wearing Vans because, you know, we're old punk rock kids. And I just loved, like, I looked at that picture once I got it like developed and printed, and it was just like the tones and everything. It was super contrasty. It was like, because it was in a great camera, so it was like vignette-y and it wasn't great light. But I was just looking at that picture, I'd be like, I like this. This is something like, you know, it's not like a pretty picture of people or whatever. It's just like, this is like something I saw and it caught my eye and I took a picture of it. Yeah. So if I had to say that of all the stuff I took in high school, that'd probably be one of the ones that just like pops right into my head.
So
I need
you,
to try to find where those photos are.
You do. Yeah, I'd love to see that. So for you, it wasn't so much the subject matter. It was the qualities of film that stood out to you.
It was the qualities and it was a feeling, too. I think, you know, that it wasn't that it was something like that was just like a, I don't say a more abstract subject, but it was just something that was just kind of like, you know, banal, like just like, you know, this is a picture of our feet, you know. But yeah, it was just the picture that the whole, I saw something. And then when I got the picture back, it was like that kind of like that realization of like, I set up this shot, I took it and I got this image back and the way it looked on black and white and everything was just like, it all just like felt right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think again, it was more, and that's what I can remember. Cause geez, I graduated high school like 20 years ago. So, it's, yeah, that's what's kind of stuck with me more than the image. I think it's just that feeling of it.
So when it comes to your work today, because obviously you've been photographing for the past 20 years as well, when you think about that image, do you see reflections of who you are today as a photographer in that photo? Or have you changed enough to where, no, that's not who you are anymore?
I think it is who... Yes and no, obviously. I mean, you know, 20 years life, you know, growing up, being married, having a kid, all of everything, you know, we're all always influenced by the outside influences and the things we experience. But I would say yes, in the fact that like, I still love to just like, given the chance, I would just walk around a place with a camera and a pocket full of film and just spend the day taking pictures of random stuff and be like super happy about it. Like even just last week, it was a nice morning here after I dropped my son off at school. And I just grabbed my AE-1 that I hadn't used in a minute and just walked around my neighborhood, which I hadn't done for a while, and just shot a roll of film. And it just felt amazing to just see what I could find.
What did
so
you
I think
find?
That, oh, man. Well, they just like where we live, we're kind of in a little downtown area of just a suburb just outside of Atlanta. So there's like just, you know, stuff that I see every day walking around with my kid. You know, I've walked around, geez, probably thousands of miles in the last few years in this area. But it's just looking at stuff, like just looking down our street, looking at way the light was hitting a stop sign, the way, you know, steeple of a church, or like they just added, like they just redid like a downtown green space. So like just messing with like shadows coming off of chairs and things like that. And just stuff that like isn't groundbreaking work by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just fun to just, you know, take a little time to just, it was, you know, enjoy the act of photographing, you know, and maybe I'll get something off of that roll that I really like and want to share, or maybe it'll just be for me. But even if I never developed that roll of film, I would be, I'd love that like half an hour just walking around.
Mm. Could you walk around without any film in your camera and just take photos and still enjoy the process? Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
Ooh,
Or has there got to be stakes for you?
There's probably got to be stakes. I think that's an interesting question. I should try that one day, but I know the entire time I'm just going to be like just mad that I don't have a roll of film in my camera.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to see something that interests me and I'm going to wish that I would have been able to actually take a picture of it. Because that's what happens every time I go for a walk without a camera.
Yeah.
I inevitably, at least even if it's just like one little thing, I see something like, oh, that would have been a cool picture. And I could take a picture on my phone, and sometimes I do, but it's just never feels as good.
Yeah. So that's so interesting, because clearly that's some sort of mental block, I guess, for you. Because if you had said, like, man, this was a great time, and the way that you were explaining it to me, I was like, man, this sounds wonderful. But then you said, if I ever get those photos back, and that's such a strange concept, I think, to a lot of listeners, you know, that you go out and you shoot these photos and you had a good time and you're talking so highly of it and you haven't seen a single photo from it. You have no idea. In fact, the photos may just come out completely underexposed, ruined, but you still had a great time of that moment. But knowing that if there wasn't any film in that camera, and you'd still have the same end result, essentially, on both sides.
Yeah.
If you never get it developed, or if there was no film in the camera, it still changes the perception of it, which is really interesting. But I'm not going to get into that. That's like a whole psychological thing. So when it comes to, you know, just going out and shooting,
yeah.
That's one thing that I love as well. And I've only really recently discovered, I would say since COVID, since there was this time where I was just like, I have to get out and shoot something. And I had been so used to like shooting people, like for weddings, that I wasn't shooting anything. So I went out one day and just started shooting. And it was similar. It was some shadows. It was like strong compositions. It was just like repeating patterns. It was nothing groundbreaking, but there was something that was so freeing about it. And all of those photos today, I still have these fond memories of, but I'll never care about those photos, I guess. Right. So what's the point?
Are you asking me what's the point?
I'm asking you what's the point? Like, how does this help us? Like, what's the point of this?
Man, I mean, well, for starters, there's just, I think, the simple catharsis of the moment of going out and doing it. I mean, I know for me, like, just the, like, I'm the same thing. Like, I have to, like, photography and walking and exploring and just wandering are so, like, just intrinsically, like, tied together for me that I guess maybe I get the same kind of, I get the same kind of, you know, just positive feelings from doing both. That, like, photos that I don't do anything with, I'm glad that I made them, glad that I went out and did it, because it was just a really great time that was a release from maybe just the stresses of everyday life, or the fact that I have been up to my eyeballs in, like, editing weddings lately, and I just want to go out and shoot something just for me. I don't know. I mean, there's, geez, again, talking about things that we don't have time to unpack. You could get into people like, you know, like Vivian Meyer, like, who shot like thousands of rolls of film and did almost nothing with any of them. Like, many of them left undeveloped for her entire life.
Yeah.
And you have this incredible body of work that she didn't do anything with. Mm-hmm. And I think for her, it was just a simple act of going and looking through a lens and hitting the shutter button. Like, that was, there was something in that for her that was profound and cathartic and essential to who she was, that she didn't, that the end result, I guess, that taking that, snapping that picture at that moment was the only result she needed.
That's so fascinating. I feel like we live in a time where, and maybe this is just an American thing, but it's like everything that we do has to be productive in some way. It has to be working towards some sort of goal, you know? It has to benefit us in some way, even in the things that we do to relax. Like, somebody shared a meme the other day of, like, me, oh, I'm going to take up knitting. My brain, oh, you need to take this to a farmer's market. You need to start selling this. Like, you need to turn this into a side hustle.
Yeah.
And then the next photo is, like, this dude at a farmer's market who's, like, obviously pissed off to be there, who's selling these little hats for $15 or whatever. When it comes to taking those personal photos, when it comes to taking personal work, just going out and shooting, I'm not talking photos of kids, family, stuff like that, do you feel any maybe not a need to post, but do you feel any, not regret either, but like if you don't share the photos, do you feel like that there's a missed opportunity there?
Maybe sometimes, but I don't know. I mean, there's been times where I've just gone through even stuff that I've, you know, developed and scanned and may have even just forgotten about, just had it sitting in Lightroom for a year or two or whatever, that I've like found from a random photo walk or something, you know, years later, be like, hey, I really like that photo. I want to share that. That I enjoy the fact that I can kind of rediscover images that I never did anything with.
Yeah.
Which.
Do you do that often? Do you go back through your, well, I guess it's different when you shoot film and develop it much later, like holding on.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's definitely that. I mean, I absolutely do. And I found myself doing that a lot more during the, you know, height of the pandemic when I couldn't go out and couldn't travel as much, couldn't go back to Canada to like photograph amazing mountains and stuff. I was going back through past work a lot more even because I didn't have new work to share. I didn't have new work. So I spent a lot more time kind of sitting with past images, which every time I find value in it, and discover pictures that I never did anything with, or just kind of learn something about that I maybe wished I would have done different in that photo, or that I really liked about that photo, or just, you know, learning in general from my past stuff. That it's every time I do it, it's worthwhile. And I don't do it nearly enough. That's something that my wife, she's also an artist. She always is telling me, you need to just find time to like sit with your photos and to look through stuff and to, you know, just kind of, whether it's curating, you know, certain images or just, you know, yeah, just working on what you have. And reflecting on it. And I want time to do that more.
Yeah.
And unfortunately I don't, like, I've had a couple weeks off from shooting and editing. I've got a wedding coming up this Saturday and then going to be gone up in Banff for an elopement after that. And then fall wedding season is in full swing. So I'm not going to have like any free time basically coming up. So I feel like there's that thing of like, well, you're doing something to relax. And so for me, it's like different than the regular editing and workflow and stuff. Okay, cool. This is cathartic. I can look through stuff. I can have, you know, go my own pace with it. But then in the back of my head, I'm like, well, you're not spending enough time with your images. You're not curating this enough. You keep saying that you need to get a gallery of these photos up online. You need to do something. You need to, you have all these photos from the Southwest that you've never done anything with. You all, and then there's that overproductive voice in the back of my head saying, like, you know, why are you doing this at all? Because you're not getting, you need to be doing more with it.
So does that make you want to do it less because you feel guilty?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do. And then I don't know, man, I think maybe it's just the stage of life I'm at now. Yeah. Years. What's that?
I said, sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Oh, no. I was gonna say, maybe it's just the stage of life I'm at right now. In the last few years of pandemic crazery, slowdowns from work, having a 4-year-old now, and just all of it. Like, I don't know. I've been able to let go of a lot of stuff that previously would have really like been eating at me. Now ask me that same question like a month from now and it might be a different answer, but like right now I'm just like in a really kind of content place that, like, you know what, if I don't get all of the personal projects or things done that I wanted to try to cram into these couple weeks off, that's fine. I'm in a much happier, healthier place if I actually just go for a hike for an hour instead of like feeling that I have to be so crazy productive with every single moment I have. And especially for me with the pressure of like when my son is in school, like this is my main work time is these, you know, 3-4 hours a day when he's not home that I'm, you know, not taking care of him. But kind of letting go and being more free with that has been just for my mental, physical, spiritual, every aspect of health has just been better than trying to always be under some kind of gun, whether it's, you know, from a deadline from client stuff or my own deadlines that I'm imposing on myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm enjoying that a whole lot more than always feeling like I have to get the next thing done.
Have you always been a person who does like a lot of personal type projects?
I've always been a person who wants to do a lot of personal type projects.
You and me both, man.
Yeah, man. I always feel like I have in the back of my head, I have a list of a bunch of them that I want to do, whether it's photography related or just cleaning up my workspace or just trying to go and finally finish painting that piece of trim in the house that we've been in for like 8 years that I never got around to. So yeah, I feel like I always have something that I could be doing, and that's definitely been a thing in the past of like that nagging like guilt of like I always need to be productive and moving and doing something. So
yeah,
I guess slowing down from that has been really helpful.
I guess that's where I was going with that is that now that you're slowing down, do you find that the ideas that you have for personal projects are shifting to be, you know, whatever, more meaningful, more impactful, more bigger, more, you know, whatever? Or do you find that you still have just as many projects now, you're just kind of throwing them off to the side?
Probably a little more the latter than the former. I wish I was so thoughtful that I could like transition into like some of those projects being more like, okay, well, this is going to be a more long term. This is going to be something that I want to have done in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that far ahead with my work. And I wish that I did. But yeah, I think it's just more of just being able to let go of some stuff and like get to it when I can, but like focus on what's, you know, what I can be present for right now.
Sure. Of course. Of course. Well, when you do get time, you know, to go out and shoot, like you said, I mean, when you went out and shot, you shot because you had taken your son to school. Now you're on your way back and you have this time, this open time freedom to just kind of be able to explore yourself. When you're able to do that, even though you haven't seen any of the photos yet, do you feel like that time that you spent while you were out shooting is going to help you capture better images in your professional work at weddings?
Oh, definitely.
How so?
Just for the fact of like the, you know, shaking off some of the rust from, you know, a couple weeks off from not photographing clients and stuff. But also just, I guess, you know, keeping fresh the joy and love of making pictures, of using a camera, of exploring visually. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's something for me that has, the more I've tried to kind of like segment and divorce like my personal work and personal exploration and just even goofing around with the camera from my client work, the less happy I've been with the client work I've been producing and the less just satisfied I've been with photography as a whole. So wow. I feel like the more I just like in let it all be just part of this art form that I love and that I get to do, the better work I'm making.
So for you, like when you go to a wedding, do you feel a pressure to take images that specifically are going to please them? Or are you still thinking in your head, "Ooh, this is interesting. I'm going to shoot this. Ooh, this is interesting. I like this. I'm going to shoot this." Even though you know that at a wedding, there's a photo that maybe Aunt Sarah is going to like, or, you know, sure, a photo that would be popular on, you know, Instagram or whatever. How do you deal with that, that balance?
I think the balance is just what you're saying. I mean, there is that duality for sure. And I mean, no matter how many times, I've had clients say that they just want like a straight, they want photojournalistic, they want candids, they want just, you know, they want me to be me in taking the photos of their wedding. They always come back to those, whether it's like the group family photos or some more posed photos or stuff. People always want a balance, even if they don't say it up front. Like looking back at their wedding photos, they're going to be really happy that they got that more formal picture with their grandfather, who maybe isn't around anymore or whatever, you know. So, I mean, like you said, balance is really kind of key. Some of that, like just getting those, you know, must have wedding shots and stuff has become more automatic, I guess is kind of the best word for it. Like that's just part of a wedding day. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, we got to go. We got to get the details. We got to get, you know, the formal family shots. We got to just try to capture things as a whole. That's just, that's, I don't want to say that that's the easy part, but kind of it is, because sure. That's just the thing that, like, I feel like I could walk into a wedding anywhere and just get those, just because it's muscle memory at this point. But then still being open to seeing those moments, seeing, you know, like, oh, hey, the way the light's coming in this window right now on this one table setting is really beautiful. Let me spend an extra couple minutes with it. Let me play with putting, like, hey, the groom nearby to this spot where normally, you know, he's going to be fine with whatever pictures I get of him, you know, getting ready. But like over here actually looks really cool, and there's a really strong shadow we can play with. Let's go for that. Let's yeah. So I guess it's just kind of openness, I guess, would be thinking through all of this as I'm kind of rambling at you with it. Just holding all of that, like, open. And if, yeah, just being open to be able to, even in the midst of all of those kind of must-haves of a wedding, where's the moments that I can be creative, that I can enjoy the photos? Because, and that's the thing too, like, I still really love shooting weddings. I still really love even getting all of those required things and stuff, because it's fun and it's joyous, and you get to be a part of it and celebrate with these people you've built a relationship with and everything too. So yeah, even if I don't walk away from a wedding with, like, you know, like a stunning portfolio piece or something, like, if I've captured those people well, I still feel satisfied about it. I still feel happy that I'm being able to give that to them, to the people who trust in me to do that at the end of the day. That's really why they want me there, is to be able to capture them and the moments and the people they love.
Yeah.
And if I get, like, a beautiful picture with, like, an awesome sunset in the midst of it too, that's icing on the cake.
Yeah, of course. A good sunset is always something to look for sure. So then how do you define for yourself whether you captured photos that are accurate to them, that they're gonna like?
Oh man, that's a good question. How do I define for myself? I don't know. I mean, I guess just the fact that they can still have fun doing it, that it doesn't feel forced to them, you know. If in the moment when we're photographing and we're still being able to, like, everybody's able to have fun with it, like, I feel like there's part of me that knows these pictures are going to be good. Mm-hmm. Not like in a cocky way, but like in a just like experience. This was an experience, and just like the just general feelings of it. Like, you know, we were all laughing when we were walking back from these to the reception. You know, it might have been 100 degrees out that day, but we all had a really good time.
Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
Yeah.
Do you find that you try to infuse the fun aspect into the shoot, or is that dependent on, you know, the, having that one groomsman who maybe had one too many or whatever? I guess what I'm trying to figure out is do you put that weight on yourself to make it fun, or do you just let them organically be themselves?
Bit of both. I think that's, again, like some of the balance, because I don't want, there's certain things that I don't, and this is just from over time, like, geez, even like 7-8 years ago, I would have been way more stressed and frazzled at a wedding. And I think taking a lot more of that into the pictures I was making. So being able to just be more relaxed and myself just having more fun doing it and more confident, even if everything's on fire around us. you know, just being able to not put those emotions on the people that I'm photographing. And to just be able to be, whether it's making bad dad jokes or whatever, you know, just in the moment and enjoying it with them. But then also, like, if somebody doesn't like dad jokes or puns or isn't one to, like, you know, crack a lot of jokes or whatever, you know, I'm not going to try to make, like, somebody who's on the more stoic side, you know, like, laugh at a joke about poop. It's, you know, so, but I feel that's kind of being true to that person, too. You know, I photographed some and it happens mostly with, like, the guys, because, you know, it's just guys are that way. But two are definitely more, like, aren't sarcastic and are more stoic and everything, but are, like, the nicest, most caring people. But, like, they're not just the one to, like, crack a joke. And, you know, they're not the one to always have a giant smile in the pictures, but just getting to know that person, you're like, no, that's that guy. You know, he was really happy then, but he's just, that's his way of showing it.
Have you ever shot a wedding where you thought this is not working at all, but then you deliver the photos and they're just head over heels for him? And you're surprised?
Ooh, yes, I'm sure I have.
When you talked about you going out and just shooting for yourself, that's a fun moment for you. You get to see the world in a unique and creative way. And then when we're talking even about weddings, you're like, it's just great when everybody has a fun time, you know? So clearly there's this atmosphere that you try to inject into your photos of, I mean, for lack of a better term, fun. But I'm guessing sure, that's carefree or just
enjoyable or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I was trying to figure out there was that, like, how much of your perception of the event changes how you think the images turn out? Because I know that that's happened to me in a time where I went to a wedding and I hated every moment of it. I really thought, I was like, there's a huge disconnect here. I made a mistake. This couple is not for me. This is not working. Yeah. They're not happy. They're not smiling in the same ways. There's a lot of stress going on today. I hate this day. And then when I delivered the photos, they legitimately wrote me, like, the longest and nicest, you know, review, shared it on Facebook, like, to all their friends. And I was shocked. And I thought in that moment, wow, that was a me problem. That was not a them problem. That was that was a me problem. And I think that's probably what started my my love for weddings starting to wane, because I realized, I was like, oh man, there's a lot that that can go into this that isn't just, like, the subject matter. But how, like, when it comes to your own personal work, do you photograph anything that is difficult or tough? Or for you, is it just, is it a form of tangibly getting ideas in your head out? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, for personal stuff. That's a good question, too. You should start a podcast.
I've thought about it before.
You know, maybe do 400 episodes, see how it goes. Give it a try. That is really interesting, because so much of what I do when it comes to personal work, I feel like, is just exploration. like with my stuff, specifically when it comes to like landscape photography, or even just general like walk around stuff in the city. That's probably the bulk of what I do for personal work is that kind of stuff. Because it is just getting to explore with a camera.
Yeah. You're not setting up big scenes. You're not coming up with like concept shoots. You're going out
typically to explore. Not. Yeah. I mean, I've never been the concept shoot guy, which drove my professors in art school crazy.
What are they doing now?
They're super nice. I actually got to hang out with one the other day and she was awesome. She met my son and it was the coolest thing. She sold me some Polaroid film that she had was hanging on to. But at the same time too, yeah, it's art school. They're trying to get you to think critically and to come up with concepts and stuff. But yeah, most of the time it's just like, even if I'm doing like some personal work with like a model or like doing some kind of like a styled wedding shoot or whatever it is, something that involves people, I'd say I'm bad at coming up with ideas and concepts, but I kind of am. Mm-hmm. Or I guess that's never been the part of like my artistic brain that I like exercise that much.
Yeah.
It's always more of like, hey, well, this could be cool. Let's maybe go like, you know, shoot at this in this field and see what we come up with and be like, okay, do you have a look in mind? I'm like, no, not really. I mean, do you have something you want to wear that would look cool for that? Okay, awesome. Let's do that.
Yeah, for sure. When I've realized over time that like I do best, I like my images the most when they almost reveal themselves in front of me rather than building something. Because I feel like if I'm building something and I don't like it, that's 100% on me. And I'm always going to find something critical about it. But it's like if I'm just out with my kids and then my kid does this cool thing on a bike, and I don't know, I think, oh, slow shutter speed here. And then like I get some motion blur. I'm like, wow, that was cool. And now that moment's gone. And well, it is what it is. And there's something that I find more satisfying in that. And I don't know. It's really interesting. But I know that a lot of other photographers are the type of creative thinker that come up with these huge, massive ideas. And I guess when it comes to like being a new photographer, that to me was like the thing. I thought that I had to create this huge, big portfolio and ideas, and I had to be good at like all these big things, setting up ideas and shoots and challenges. And that's not who I am, but it took a long time to discover. So if that's the case for you as well, like how do you know if your work is meaningful to you? Like just your own personal stuff. How do you know if you like it?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'll answer that in a sec, but I just completely same page on that whole idea of like working conceptually and big ideas and stuff. And I have a really good friend here in town. Fantastic photographer, Jordana Russell. She is, just brilliant at concepts and ideas and fashion, and like it's just the moment she blows up, she's going to blow up because she's that good. And she's that good about thinking about like these big ideas and scenes. And we've like collaborated on some stuff sometimes, and I think I probably drive her nuts because she'll have like all these ideas and be like, yeah, that sounds cool. Or like, yeah, whatever, you know, if you got an idea, let's roll with that.
I can see myself saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Let's see how it works. Let's go.
That's awesome. And I have like, I have some friends, like a good friend of mine that I got to know because, she like modeled for me one time and we've shot together probably like, geez, half a dozen times or more over the years. And I actually got to photograph her wedding last year. And it's whenever we shoot, she just knows at this point that I'm just kind of like, yeah, we'll do this place, you know, maybe these kind of looks. And then in the midst of just walking around, I'll be like, oh, okay, stop right there. That looks cool. She just, and we work together really well. Cause she's in the same kind of thing of like, yeah, let's just figure it out as we go.
So wait, when that moment happens and you're like, hold on, stop right there. This looks cool. What's that next step? Because obviously if you didn't build this whole thing, is it, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, well, let's use a interesting composition or light or color or something mm-hmm. here and then try to make something out of this. Is that what you're referring to, or something more along her lines as a model, like her pose or whatever?
Oh, I think both. Sometimes it's just like the way that she might have been walking or moved or something, or definitely like the location or the light or something, and be like, you know, we'll come around the corner of a building and be like, oh, awesome, the sun's coming through, like, just fantastic. I think this could be really cool. Let's give it a try. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a bit of both.
So then do you think if you are more of a, I guess for lack of a better term, reactionary shooter than a builder, do you think that your images that you love have less meaning, knowing that there was a lot of happenstance that had to come together for that image to be created?
Ooh, I don't think so. I don't feel like that's the case. I mean, I don't feel like, not to ever take anything away from the shooters who are very, very conceptual and very, you know, constructing and building something. And I know how much goes into that. And, but no, because they can, that those images that they've spent all this time like building and creating this concept, this world, the scene, those pictures, that art matters because it matters to them. Mm-hmm. I think first and foremost, the photographer, the person making that image, that vision resonated with them somehow. And so I think in the same, by like the same token, like me going out and just going for a hike and trying to see what I can find in an area and taking those pictures, or just, you know, walking around with a friend and taking her pictures in the city or whatever. Those images I feel have value because they resonated with me. They meant something to me. They meant something for me to want to, you know, click the shutter and make that image and then work with it afterwards. And, yeah, I connected with it and somehow. Yeah. So I think that there's merit in that.
Talk to me a little bit about the, again, I know that it goes back to balance, but I guess tell me more about the decisions that you make when it comes to the photos that you put on your website, because from a business perspective, we know that, you know, you got to show what you want to shoot, right?
Yeah, so for sure.
Are the images on your website the images that you feel best represent you, like that you love the most, or how much of a decision do you have to make thinking, oh, but I know that this type of image is pretty and would stand out to brides, and, you know, lots of other photographers take this photo. You shoot in Banff, like that. Is it Lake Monroe? Is that the name of the lake right there?
There's a few. There's like Moraine Lake, Lake Minnewanka. Moraine Lake's probably the most famous and most busy lake up there, without a doubt.
So do you think, like, if I have, you know, big landscape, tiny people photo on my website, like that's immediately going to attract people regardless of the rest of my style? Did that question make sense?
Yeah, no, totally. I think, and that is something that, you know, I think we were even talking about before we started recording, or when we were talking a few weeks ago, that idea of making images that actually making and presenting images that matter to me and connect with me. Like, there's definitely the one side of things, like of showing the variety of photos that I can take, showing the, you know, like if I'm putting like a portfolio of like, you know, family portraits on my website, for instance, I obviously am going to want to show pictures of families, you know, I'm going to want to show, you know, people happy together, trying to capture people in the moment and all of that. But it's also because those photos I enjoy. And like, I look at the photos of my own family and I'm like, I can, especially now having a kid, family photos like that have a lot more, even more value and merit to me. But I'm not trying to, I would love to say that I'm not trying to pander to anyone in particular or trying to attract or try to do anything, but I definitely am trying to show work that is the work that I want to make, like you said. And so it is when I am showing like a landscape of like, you know, a glacial-fed lake in the Canadian Rockies with a bride and groom in the foreground or like in the corner, I am showing because I want to attract clients who want that, who want to like could see themselves there or just see this beautiful landscape in a place. But it's also because I really love making those kinds of images. It's combining some of my favorite things, which are getting to explore and photograph a beautiful landscape and also capture a wonderful moment and picture for a couple who just had like one of the most joyous days of their lives, or who, you know, are had just got engaged or just whatever it may be. Like, I'm getting to actually combine two things that I love in photography.
So it's not necessarily that you feel any sort of pressure to conform to trends, but it doesn't mean that just because a photo is, I guess, trendy, for lack of a better term, has a high visual impact.
Sure.
Doesn't mean that it's necessarily a bad photo.
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I don't feel pressure to conform to trends. That's something that I kind of got over pretty quickly when I got was getting into photography. Maybe just because I'm stubborn.
Oh, I see. What's that? Yeah. I said, how? Like, why? But yeah, being stubborn. So trying stubborn, to go against the grain?
Yeah, definitely trying to go against the grain. I think maybe that's just from being an old punk rock kid.
Yeah,
like, you know, yeah, growing up and being like, you know, screw the bands that are on the radio, man. This stuff is, you know, maybe there's just that, like, you know, streak of harmless rebellion that I'm still trying to tap into. Maybe it's the fact that I am like an old man at heart. I don't know. Maybe it's me just, you know, the old man yelling at the cloud and you darn kids doing your thing. But I think, I don't know, it is just the, yeah, trying to chase trends and stuff just never worked out for me. And it never felt right, never felt fulfilling.
Yeah.
To always be trying to change my style or the style of stuff I was presenting in things.
Well, it sounds like it's the exact opposite of how you think creatively. Because now once you see a photo and you try to replicate it, now there's not so much happenstance. It's just, there's not so much exploring. It's now you have to build it. And that seems like such a huge challenge. I know I've felt that before. Like, I really like this photo, but oh my gosh, recreating something like this, that's a lot of work, you know? So,
yeah.
So then, how has shooting for yourself influenced the way that you shoot weddings? Are you going to weddings and just shooting like the way that the light reflects off stop signs and, you know, the shadows coming through, you know, park benches and stuff?
Sometimes. I mean, you know, maybe I'm photographing like the sign of the wedding venue, you know, in a from a different angle than I wouldn't have normally. Maybe it's, you know, not the. Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, sometimes, yeah, it is. Maybe I'm not trying to make sure that every single table setting is captured or delivered, because probably half of them are the exact same.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I'm spending a little more time on finding something that is a little more visually interesting, or that I think is a more of a worthwhile image.
Do you find that personal projects have kept the spark for weddings? I know that you said that you enjoy weddings still, but do you find that shooting for yourself keeps the love of weddings alive longer?
Oh, absolutely. Like, without a doubt. I have a really good friend who I got into shooting weddings with, and he is was never really in love with doing weddings, I guess I should say. I mean, he did great work and we had a fun time, but it was just never it was never the right thing for him, and he always would talk about getting out of it. And he finally did it a few years ago, and he's still a working photographer and does great commercial work, which he enjoys a whole lot more. But he would always talk about how he would never do personal work, because it always just felt like work to him. Mm-hmm. It felt like a chore to have to pick up the camera and go shoot something and come back and edit it. There wasn't just that same joy for him in it. So maybe, I don't know if it was just kind of like the intrinsic enjoyment of it for me, or like always kind of having kind of the lessons that I took from him in the back of my head of being like, no, I need to go out and shoot for me, because if I don't, this is going to burn me out eventually.
It's funny. One of the things that I always ask myself, like when I go out and shoot for myself, I think to myself, wow, I just said myself like 14 times in that same sentence. Just personal stuff that I know isn't going to be delivered to a bride. It's not going to be delivered to a family. Oftentimes, I think, what am I doing here? Because there's not a direct result from me going out and shooting. It's enjoyable and I like it, but there's nothing already planned for these photos. Nobody's expecting these photos. Nobody's waiting on these photos. I could technically do nothing with these photos and nobody would even know. You know?
Yeah.
So how do we, for you, obviously shooting for yourself, it's not so much that there's a direct result of this is the thing that I'm shooting and this is now what I get to do with it. But it sounds to me like it recharges your battery to allow you to shoot weddings with more creativity and enjoyability.
Oh, absolutely. 100% it does.
So and if even you if never got to use any of those personal photos ever again, you'd be like, this is fine because I'm still able to take the images that I'm being paid for, deliver them, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I would like to say so, but there's definitely a part of me that like there are images that I take specifically like a lot of my landscape photography that I want people to see. Whether anything ever comes after that, but I just enjoy sharing those photos. So, but also at the same time too, like, yeah, the simple act of going out and just making those pictures is very, very much, recharging and gratifying and cathartic and everything too.
Most recently, aside from this time where you just, no, you know what? Forget it. Thinking about going, walking back and doing that that film shoot. Obviously, you haven't seen any of those photos yet.
I have no idea how any
of those photos have turned out. But when you think about looking through the viewfinder in your brain, what photo did you like the most? Or do you have the most excitement over?
Oh, okay. There's probably a couple is just like these in that new green space in my town there. There was some metal chairs that just had light pouring through them and just making some awesome shadows on the ground. And probably I'm most excited about that because when I started walking that day, I'm like, oh, I want to go down there. And I bet there's probably some cool shadows coming from these chairs. So I had that in mind already. I was like kind of pre-visualizing that shot a little bit. So I think just the fact that I got to go take a picture that I had in my mind already, which may be just completely counterintuitive to everything we've just spent the last hour talking about, but
no,
I did have a
all.
Picture in mind that I wanted to make. So yeah, those ones I think I am excited about, but then, you know, there's just some stuff. I do want to see that roll of film because it was a film stock I've never shot before.
It was
a black and white film. I used it with a red or an orange filter on there that I haven't used with in a while. Sorry, what did you say?
What was the film?
It was just a Kent Mirror 400. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a really inexpensive stock that Ilford bought Kent Mirror a few years ago and they manufacture now. And
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's really cheap. It's like, especially now, just as because cheap film is hard to come by. But like a roll of it is like under $10 a roll of that. And it's I've seen other people shoot with it and it looks beautiful. And I've had a couple rolls sitting around and I just decided to not overthink it and just grab it and go. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see it. I want you to share those photos. I want to see it as well.
I will share those photos and I will tag you in it and be like, hey, we talked about this roll of film on the with Raymond on the Beginner Photography podcast.
Do you find that shadows are something that you're drawn to that you shoot often?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So let me ask you a question because I'll be enough. Same.
Sorry, could you say that?
Oh, I did not mean to say Siri. I apologize.
No, it's okay. She
I didn't book her. I don't think she's allowed to be here today. No, no.
Exactly.
Oddly enough, I had recently went through my Lightroom catalog, just my Lightroom CC. So like I kind of separated classic into wedding work and then CC into like personal work, because if they're together, for me, it always felt like the same work brain, but on personal photos, it didn't work the same. Do you have any separation like that as well?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I have it in that I have all of my client stuff on like external hard drives I have them always connected to my main desktop, but they're all of my client stuff are on those, and all like the personal film stuff I do, I just have on my computer's hard drive in a film specific folder.
Oh,
so
how do you?
They're all in the same. What's that?
How do you view it?
Oh, just all in Lightroom. They're all in the same big Lightroom catalog. Oh, but when I go down and look through the folders, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All the stuff that's on this, you know, USB G drive is client stuff, and everything that's on this film scan folders is more for me, you know.
Gotcha. So I had been looking through my photos recently, and I discovered that like over the years, I've taken a lot of photos of shadows. And why? I'm not sure. I don't know. But I started putting them into a full, like in a collection by themselves. And I don't know if anything will ever come of it, but like it's interesting now seeing, it's like I'm not going out and creating a project to shoot, but it's like I'm still kind of creating a project, like I'm assembling it, which has been very strange. And again, maybe it's just my American brain that says like, but what am I going to do with this? And I haven't figured that out yet.
That's something that is, I think is, that's one of the things I love about this art form in general, and those found images in your own body of work. I think just the, even if you don't do anything with this, you for your very, just for yourself, you're curating a body of work, and you have been over the years taking pictures of these shadows and stuff. And I think that's when it's really worthwhile spending time in your pictures, going back through them, realizing, hey, I'm drawn to this one particular subject matter. And I think that was one of the most useful things that I got out of art school, and the education that I had in that was not necessarily having to have great grand concepts, not having to go and like make a picture be a movie set like Gregory Crutzen and all these, you know, like super like high concept photographers, but actually looking at what I'm drawn to photograph and trying to understand why. And trying to actually just get that more self-reflection and be more aware of why am I making this particular type of work? Just for the fact of knowing myself better as a photographer.
I'm sorry, go on.
So I was going to say, I think that's worth it. Even if you never do anything with that collection of shadows, you're learning more about yourself.
1000%. And that's the thing that I'm struggling with, which I know sounds ridiculous, but it's like, why shadows? Why have I been drawn to shadows without knowing it for so long? And maybe it's just because it's not on the nose subject matter. And then over time, I just kept shooting it, or maybe it's something deeper. I don't know. But like, I feel like if I wanted to put something together, it would have to have some context or some meaning or something in it that I want to figure that out before it gets turned into something. But I completely agree with you. Yeah, being able to go back and look at your work, I never thought was valuable. I never wanted to go back and do that, because it was a long time ago. But it was, I think David Duchemin, who I've shared on the podcast, has said like the best photo school is here's a camera, here's 100 rolls of film, go out and shoot. Don't look at anybody else's photos. And then when you're all done, look at them and then now decide for yourself who you are as a photographer. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. But I never went back and looked at the photos, because I always wanted to just keep shooting and keep growing rather than, I guess, reflecting. But now that I have this space to kind of reflect rather than just keep busy and shooting, it has been really beneficial. It's just now I have to figure out in my head, well, what does this mean? And that's the next step for me, I suppose. So I really want to see more of your personal work. You know, I really want, like, I want you to create something of your personal work. I know that you said that you save a lot of stuff, you know, on a hard drive, on your computer. But just, I think seeing how they relate to your own professional work is so cool, you know, and seeing that, I don't know, free association of here's the thing that I see in front of me, and here's the image that I was able to get out of it, only because I feel like you and I see the world in that same way. Interesting to see those photos. But Stephen, we're at the end of our time here. We did this. I feel like this went by so fast.
Went by very fast.
Yeah. Before I let you go, people are going to want to know more about you and see some of your work. So where can we do that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my website is just StephenWallaceFoto.com, and that's Stephen with a V. On the Instagrams, at Stephen Wallace Photo. If you're on Facebook, just Stephen Wallace Photo on there. I occasionally jump on Threads, but not really. I download it and haven't done a whole lot with it since, but. Yeah, I mean, I would say Instagram is probably where I keep up with most as far as like regularly sharing the work I'm making. And it's always a mix of like client and wedding and landscape and just, you know, personal work and stuff too.
I had two big takeaways from this interview. One was just how important it is to be able to recharge our creative batteries. Even if you're not into photography professionally, there can be a lot of weight to create images that really stand out and have huge meaning and, you know, do these really big tasks. And when we try to make these images, oftentimes we put in a ton of work to make that happen. And when they don't turn out exactly how we want, well, that can be, that can suck, for lack of a better term. So being able to use or find a way within photography to completely just recharge your creative batteries so that you don't give up, so that you just get back out there and you get back to work and realize what went wrong and fix it this time and make whatever you do next better. Again, really stood out to me. And I loved, just chatting about how, it doesn't really matter about the images. And if I never see the photos again, well, I still know that I had a great time out shooting and I felt free, and that freed up that mental space to be able to be more creative when it matters. And then takeaway number two was just how cool it was that obviously Stephen is also, I feel like there needs to be a better term than reactionary shooter. I'll come up with something, but how we both see the world in a very similar way to where we work best within the constraints that are in front of us. Like, here is the world that we're in right now. Let's make the best of it rather than creating something massive from scratch, from nothing. So hearing that another photographer sees that way was great, but also just that doesn't, in Stephen's eyes, illegitimize the value of those photos, that just because you captured it while you're out and maybe it didn't take a week to put together or even an hour to put together, that you just kind of saw it, you snapped the photo and then you really like it, doesn't make it worth any less impact to you, but it can still make a difference in who you are as a photographer and the way that you see and interact with the world from a creative perspective. So I really appreciated that, because that is something that I do struggle with. You know, how valuable can this thing be if I know that it didn't take very long to create? So again, that was one of the biggest takeaways from me. I would love to hear your biggest takeaway in this episode today with Stephen Wallace. You can share it with me in the private, free to join Beginner Photography Podcast community. We have a whole chat dedicated just to podcast interviews. So if you have a question or a comment about a specific interview, you can come on in, share your thoughts, chat with others as well. And again, share your biggest takeaways and continue the learning process after the episode is over. So that is it for today. You can join the group by heading over to beginnerphotopod.com/group. Again, beginnerphotopod.com/group. Or if you are already a member, you can just head to community.beginnerphotographypodcast.com and then you are in. But that is it for today. Remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.